From Jakarta, here is Voice of Indonesia with Indonesia Today. News, information, and entertainment from Indonesia, only on Indonesia Today. Of the House of Representatives of the Republic of Indonesia expressed a firm rejection of any form of relocation or evacuation of Palestinians. The move is considered the same as ethnic cleansing. Despite rejecting the relocation of Palestinians to Indonesia, Inter-Parliamentary Cooperation Agency of the House member Eva Monalisa expressed full support for a fair conflict resolution through negotiations and increased international pressure on Israel. This was confirmed by Eva after meeting with the Palestinian delegation at Nusantara Free Building, Senayan, Jakarta on Tuesday, as reported by ppr.co.id. Danish Foreign Minister Lars Løkke Rasmussen on Tuesday expressed Denmark's support for the successful conclusions of the free trade agreement negotiations between Indonesia and the European Union. The statement came during a joint press conference after his meeting with Indonesian Foreign Minister Sugiono in Jakarta. Denmark will take over the European Union presidency on July 1, 2025, and Rasmussen assured that under Denmark's leadership, concluding the free trade agreement negotiation will be a top priority. That's the news.
Reading and writing. So good afternoon, Chandrika.
Good afternoon, I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Okay, it's me, Faisal, Chandrika, at the studio of Voice of Indonesia. my friend.
Okay, so I hope that you're fine to make a weekend and still, you know, based on our topic today, let's read and write. Reading and writing. I believe that this is also based on your passion, yes, Tamrita.
Yes, certainly. It's also based on the published book that I've released when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
Titled Blind with Double Ambition, or in English, it is The Sky is Blind and the Moon is Mute.
Wow, cool. So actually, Tamrita, when the first time that you, that made you feel such impressed, yeah, in writing and reading?
Well, actually, to be honest, it started from my mom. When we were younger, we had a subscription to one of Indonesia's publishing company, which is Bombas Gramedia. We had many subscriptions, including My Girl Bobo or My Girl Princess, which a lot of listeners is maybe aware of. And my mom would read me this princess stories, which has little writing and lots of pictures in it. But for some reason, I did not believe the content of the writing. So my mom then taught me how to read as early as possible so I can just read it for myself. And from there, she also taught me writing, and that's when I started to write stories.
So maybe your mom is your hero, Tamrita.
Yes, certainly.
Because your mom, yeah, she gives you lots of inspiration, maybe during your life, reading and writing.
Yes, certainly. She was also a young writer.
Great. So besides having such inspiration from your mother, maybe from another one of me, how did you get your inspiration firstly, Tamrita?
I think growing up, I read a lot of fiction books, like Harry Potter or The Hunger Games, and I think those definitely enhanced my creative process, because it's very really interesting to imagine the world that these authors have vividly described. So I think those are definitely my inspirations as well.
So until now, even you're still writing, Tamrita. I mean, yeah, about the targets or goals that you want to achieve.
Well, yes, I am still writing, but mostly now I write blog posts and for like an organization as content writing.
Mm.
It's for books in general. I do have plans on writing again. I would like to write something a bit more realistic, even though it would still be fiction, since my first book was definitely a bit more fantasy.
Wow, cool. So what is it about, actually?
The book tells the story of a young girl moving to her grandma's village.
Oh.
A village was an ex-colonialism of the Dutch, and so there she experienced a lot of weird stuff, including secret cults and the mystery of her grandma's death.
Mm. So Tamrita, besides having such, writing about, you said before, I mean, have you ever written about, I can say such, maybe a writing which express deeply about your gratitude or thanks to your mother because you got inspiration from your mother?
Well, in general, if it's writing a whole piece, I have not done so far. But in the future, I would like to write her a little autobiography for her life. But aside from that, in my first book, if you go to the first page, and there is a writing and it's translated to English, it will say, for a noble woman, had an enormous desire in my mom.
Wow, cool. Maybe I believe that your mom is really proud of you, Tamrita.
I hope so, too.
Well, actually, until now, have you found such challenges, Tamrita, for reading and writing as your passion?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think specifically to writing itself, it could be hard to develop your own writing style because lots of authors, they use punctuations even differently and how they express themselves differently. But I think most importantly, what is hard in writing is something called the writer's block, where it's hard to get inspiration and you just tend to don't know what to write, which I think is really normal. I think to solve that, I usually just try to read as opposed to write because I don't gain from it have inspiration.
Okay, so it is your challenges, you mean?
Yeah.
Maybe, have you ever felt such stuck? I mean, felt bored, you know what I mean? Before you finish about your writing, you feel tired, feel bored. So how did you react? How did you get out from this boredom, Tamrita? So that you got motivation anymore after that?
Yeah, certainly. I think there was lots of times in the process of writing my novel where I couldn't just carry on. I didn't know what to write. The flow was kind of fast. I couldn't find a plot. Interestingly enough, the way I handled that was to write in different places.
Mm.
I remember writing even on top of the roof of my house.
Oh, okay. You wrote on the top, on the rooftop. Does it mean that you really like to write something in a calm situation? Or maybe in something sometimes maybe in a calm situation? Which one do you really like most, Tamrita?
Well, to be honest, I do not really like... Maybe I like calm situations, but I don't really like very quiet situations because I think those are the places where you tend to get more writer's block because you're not seeing anyone, you're not seeing any interaction. Sometimes when I write and there's a couple in front of me, I imagine that they're like secretly drug dealing and those kind of things can make me have more inspiration.
Mm. So is it usually in the morning or in the afternoon? To reach, Tamrita. Well, talking about writing and reading, do you have any special place for you? Maybe in the place, in this special place, you will get such more passion, more motivation, so that your writing will be easily done.
I like to go to, but I think going to public places where there are lots of people,
okay.
It could be motivation in a way that different kinds of people talking to each other gives you inspiration. What your characters would be, what their morals would be like. I think those kind of things.
Wow, really fascinating, Tamrita. I like the way you do. I mean, you're still young, full of motivation. Having good passion in writing and reading. I hope that most of Indonesian people, especially the younger, they also have such the same passion as you, reading and writing. Well, Tamrita, do you have any maybe one target this year about your writing, about novel, or maybe I can say like short story that you want to finish? be like love story maybe for generation, because yeah, you know that like Gen Z really, yeah, they want to know much more about and deeper about the things that they want to get it. I mean,
for short story writings, yes, I actually explore more about probably not love stories, but maybe about, you know, like little dilemmas of living your life, like are you on the right path, are you pursuing the right degree, I think those kind of things. But it's really interesting to see many, many more short story writings or novels with varying topics coming from diverse ages of authors. And especially with the platforms that you can publish to be digitalized, I think it's really important for the growth of literacy. So it's really nice to see.
Okay. Well, Antino, have you ever given such motivation maybe to your friends, maybe Chandrika, so that they will also have such maybe the same passion with you, the same as you, I mean. Have you ever given such motivation to your friends?
I maybe indirectly, but I do think reading or writing is something that you're inspired most to do when you see other people doing it. So for example, in university now, me and like a couple of, a few of my friends, every Saturday, we gather in the specific restaurant to literally just read our books and after tell each other how we feel while eating food. Kind of things are nice, yeah.
So not only eating, yeah, in the restaurant, yeah, you also discuss something to raise up about motivation in writing and writing.
Yeah, like the things that we found interesting in our own books.
Okay, so, do you have any, I can say, favorite writers, I mean, internationally?
Certainly. When I was younger, it was more to J.K. Rowling, but now it has transitioned more into authors like Mitch Albom, his most notable work is Two Days with Morries, in which he basically talks about the hustle culture these days that are not necessarily good, and just to enjoy the little things like interacting with your families, taking out in evenings. I think those kind of authors are more appealing for me these days.
Well, still, I'm really interested in asking more detail about this, Chandrika, because yeah, reading and writing, this is really, yeah, it is interconnected.
Yeah.
Yeah, to build and rebuild even our insight and even our mind. So, Chandrika, until now, can reading and writing influence your life,
Oh yeah, definitely. The most basic thing that I can come up with is you use reading everywhere. This determines your skill set. When you're in school, your ability to read a certain exercise is based on your literacy rate. When you're in a job interview, your ability to present yourself is based on your reading, how much knowledge you have. Or when you're writing, it is used for many people as a coping mechanism to entangle their feelings. So I do think outside of academic career, outside of passion, it could really help with one's daily life.
Wow, cool. So this also influences a lot about the way of your life, Chandrika.
Yes, especially like this day where a concern about hoaxes or like misinformation. I think when someone has a good understanding to read or write, they can differentiate more easily because they understand which is written more properly and which is not.
Okay, well, Chandrika is a writer and also author since you were young, in junior high school. I mean, who encouraged you, besides your mother, maybe, encouraged you a lot, and even until now, to read and write, and even there's no word of lazy when you say this, no lazy thing. Every day and even every week, you read a lot. Do you have any targets, maybe? Every month, you must read maybe 5 books. Every month, maybe you have to read 10 books. Do you have any target in this case, Chandrika?
Yes, for the first question of who motivates me besides my mom, I think those kind of things is an internal factor. Again, when I say interconnected, when you read, you're inspired to write, and when you write, you're inspired to read. So it just differentiates between the two. But secondly, my target, yes, I do have a target. It's true that I actually want to be able to read 3 books per month, but aside from the books, I also want to read like more articles, more news. I make a target to read news articles every day because I want to be able to also understand the current status quo of the world besides just a fiction story or a non-fiction story.
So really, still, you also would like to know about news articles.
Yeah.
It is also related to journalists, Chandrika. So you want to be a journalist also? Maybe in the future?
I think I do. I think maybe I went to the wrong school, to be honest. I want to pursue journalism.
Well, now you are as a young writer. Maybe in the future, during your top priority of the future, actually, what personal you want to reach, Chandrika?
I was lying when I said I wanted to be a journalist. I'd love to be a journalist, but besides that, I do not have plans on permanently working a corporate job. I want to be a freelance writer, even until this day. It's still the same dream I had when I was 9 years old. I want to be able to work from home and just creatively writing or contributing to a film project, or script writing. And I know that's cliche, but it's true.
Well, it was, before that you talk about international writers that or author that you got inspired from them. In Indonesia, Chandrika, do you have any, I can say, yeah, Indonesian idol and idol of writers that you really got such inspiration from them? Who are they?
One prominent one is someone called Ziggy Zerzio Bina Zabrisky. I love her style of writing. She's very quirky to say about herself. One of her books, titled Sumo Ikan Yuanit or All the Fish in the Sky, is from the perspective of a bus. So the main character is a bus, and it tells a story there.
So you got the story from that?
Yeah, what the bus sees and what the bus feels. It's something you don't think about every day, and that's kind of the beauty of writing. Mm-hmm. There's no specific rules. You can create your own world.
Okay. Chandrika, do you have any such maybe suggestions or messages, especially for Indonesian children, especially young women, young men, young people, so that they will also be able to dig out about their passions, to read more, to write more about anything that they like? Do you have any suggestions maybe, or hopes for them?
My suggestion could be just do it. Like, start from reading what you write. For example, I started from fiction. I started from even princess stories, and then like Hans Christian Andersen short stories like Hansel and Gretel and stuff like that. And from there, you can explore your own interests. the children, because children do what they see, not what they are told to do.
Okay, so boss, Tavika, boss, I'm going to find a question. Maybe do you have any, as a young writer, do you have any such expectation from the Malaysian government? Directing, yeah, related to your passion, do you like writing, yeah, reading and writing?
Yeah, definitely. I think I have lots of messages for the government, but specifically in literacy, Indonesia is actually the 60th country in Asia that has the lowest literacy rate, and the 60th position is due to a lot of factors, and I think a huge factor is in schools, you're not really taught to read, you're taught to listen and just do what you're told. So I think when you incorporate more reading habits or dedicating a specific time for children to read, giving them more reading materials, teaching them as if it could be an escape, not just a chore, I think that could really set a good precedent for their habits in the future.
Okay, well, Tamika, do you believe or not? I mean, well, there's also a wise word by saying, what you are doing right now is what you are going to get in the future.
Yes, I agree. You reap what you sow.
Yes, it is what I mean. It is what you are doing right now, Tamika. I hope that you are able to reach what your target, your goals in the future. I hope that one day Indonesia will know much more. And you will be, you will be known by many people about your writing skills and even your works. And still, you are an inspiration for many Indonesian young people and give much goodness for Indonesian people. Thank you, Tamika, for your time.
Thank you so much. I hope Indonesia people can flourish in their passion for reading and writing.
So keep on reading, keep on writing forever. Thank you,
Tamika.
Have a nice day.
Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye. Okay, listeners, hello, viewers. That was our special review in the Voice of Voice Malaysia afternoon with Chandrika Kumaratunga as a young writer. So don't be aware, stay tuned. At www.voice.id. And now the song that would like to accompany you is the song is from, what song, Faisal? Yes, the song is from Deepa Barus featuring Monica Kaina. But before that, I'd like to tell you our Cita Indonesia sesungguhnya. Enjoy the song.
Normally, it takes about 5 hours.
We all went to Jakarta by Yasin Yasin. Kemudian Bill itu membuat gawe.
He worked for his people, then he made gawe karahayuan.
And worked for glory.
Yes.
For karahayuan, for glory, for keselamatan, for welfare, for peace and prosperity of the people and so on. Jadi apa? Ini masih piece of civil engineering technology. Actually, it was the work of King Boris Nora. 26th or 7th century, an Indonesian king successfully built and laid some dams. In my opinion, it is worth entering the list of cultural heritage objects. But at the moment, it has not been included in the cultural heritage list.
Now the problem is capital investment, which is often volatile, fluctuative, yes. It is the price during planting and harvest times, it fluctuates. So now I decided to stop for a moment. Agriculture is always like this sometimes. The price is high, but mostly it is cheap. I became a farmer because it's the only thing that I know. Because all I can do is farming. I don't even know how to market my products. I cannot manage the time. I'm a farmer, not a trader. I cannot leave my farm. If I go and sell my products, well, it takes 3 to 4 days to tend to the plants. What would happen? The plants would be affected by diseases. That's the problem.
If we must develop a cooperative, it must be clear what kind of assistance that we are going to get. How about the program? Now, after we were encouraged to set the cooperative in accordance with the law, we will become confused. What then? And how about indigenous people? What are we going to do with them? I was so touched when I went to Thailand. There was a farmer who was making a bird cage. Why do you make bird cages? He said, I make bird cages because I was told by our cooperative office to do it. How about marketing? We need not worry about marketing because after we finish this, people from industrial office will come and we get paid. How? We check. So rural banking in Thailand lives so well, and people need not worry about marketing. This is what I call a clear policy. Sorry for making a comparison. When there was potential candidates for a region, for urban policy in Panjalu, we prioritized the local policy first. Do not ever let the culture and the cultural order became lost. I do not want any hotel here. I have said tourists can come and homestay. If toilets need to be fixed, then fix them. Just do whatever necessary. What I'm worried about is, if there are hotels, tourists will flock in without control. At least we can tell people what to do. I'm very concerned. Do not develop Panjalu as you please. What we feared is not in accordance with the rules of our ancestors, Islamic rules. No bad deeds, nor blasphemy, things like that. We are worried if it is not controlled, there will be hotels and, what is it, karaoke and so on.
As part of autonomous region of Chiang East District, Panjalu inevitably becomes part of the new producing potentials, especially after the loss of Panjang and Pangandaran area, which were the largest source of income for Chiang East District. As stated by Chiang East Culture and Tourism Office, Uncle Chiang.
After Pangandaran off, it means we must concentrate on existing destinations, especially cultural tourism, such as Karang Kamuyan, Situ Lengkong, and Tambak Sari, which will become our icons and to be given the top priority because we will not have beaches anymore. Apart from being managed by the government, we expect later there will be investors from outside, so the next destinations are to be created by the private sector.
As
Panjalu village head, I was invited by Chiang Culture and Tourism Office. The district lost some access to the new autonomous region of Pangandaran, the tension region Panjalu, right? So we have put forward our appeal, do not move Pangandaran to Panjalu.
Itu berkaitan juga dengan kewenangan. Ini yang mau dimengerti juga oleh pemerintah kabupaten. Ya, dari desa itu sangat terbatas kewenangannya.
Well, it relates to the authority. This is what we want to be understood also by the district. The village has very limited authority, so please do understand if you want any income, you must give the authority to us. Actually, they should ask Panjalu people first.
Panjalu
now has become an object of cultural tourism and pilgrimage in Chiang East District. Facilities and infrastructure have already been built by the Chiang East District government.
It seems Panjalu has to face the reality between maintaining the culture that has persisted over 1,000 years as Nyampu ceremony, held at the beginning of the month of Muharram or Maulid in Situ Lengkong, or adapting the meaning of Tibetan without filtering, which often ignores the great tradition and culture. However, if Panjalu has become a tourism icon, something that has been hidden will be famous outside of Chiang East area and will provide economic income and wealth as desired by Panjalu people. However,
to the world. Listener, you're still with me on the Faisal and the program of RNF on Indonesia Today. Well, before we end our program at RNF, we'd like to say thank you very much to one of our listeners in Pakistan. He is Mr. Kalab Abbas. Yes, he has already just sent about, you know, the good, yeah, I mean, the good interview, I mean, yes, also the good review poll that he has been able to listen to RI Digital very well. And he said thank you for this program, and also, yeah, thank you for the program, also the segments that we serve for our listeners and viewers in, of course, in many countries around the world, I mean. So thank you very much, Mr. Kalab Abbas, for your time. And also, who has already mentioned about, you know, good broadcast today for us, and also received very well in Pakistan. And so we hope that also we get such good information from our other listeners and also viewers, so that this can also give such good impact here for the sake of our better program segment, and even broadcast only for you listeners and viewers. For you all, we serve, we do better. And we hope that this will be much better than before. Well, finally, listener, I'm also Mr. Faisal, also the Korean UT. Would like to say thank you very much for listening and watching us, and especially for the viewers and listeners and the program of RNF on Indonesia Today. And we are going to continue our Indonesia Today. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on Indonesia Today, only on VOI and RNF.
Okay.